Chapter 27. The Green Isles. When ships needed repairs or bad weather raged, Sea Pearl would berth in Pelagos. Cressa might have relished these respites from shipboard confinement. She might have strolled the marketplaces or taken Nightmist, who now lived full-time in Magistrar Destra's stable, out for a long restorative gallop along the beach or up and down the jagged green peaks. But the Magistrar warned the Allies that the Green Isles swarmed with spies and agents of all the great powers. The shield doubled and tripled layers of security, essentially keeping Cressa prisoner in the guesthouse that Destra graciously offered. Her shields hovered around the Queen, suspicious that she would make a break for freedom. But Cressa held her guards in too high regard to cause them extra worry. Fortunately, this high-ceilinged guesthouse, filled with colourful pillows and luxurious rugs, offered more space and comfort than her shipboard cabin, and boasted a full-size bathtub. Cressa sent her maids out shopping for things she craved, such as broadsheets and books, paper and pens, skin salves and boiled sweets. Evenings might be lively affairs. Destra would provide a banquet from her kitchens and join Ambrice and Cressa for counsel and conversation. The best nights ensued if Mikkel also berthed in port. Then these dinners turned frolicsome. He never turned up without some offering that cheered them all. Once he brought bells they had to wear on their toes. Another time he showed up with parrots he taught to mangle bawdy lawther songs. For a few hours they would drink fruit liqueurs, argue over who cheated at oblongs and squares, and set aside the grim work of war. Such breaks occurred rarely. Most of the time the ships cruised the turquoise sea pursuing their quarry. Each island, each town, each harbour presented unpredictable dangers. Cressa took the death of each member of her shield hard. From the original 22 who had sailed away from Cascada, the squad now numbered less than 10. After Sina's death, she decided that she would no longer allow them to participate in raids, but instead insist they fulfil their primary purpose of serving as her personal protectors. Watching her was surely the safest of all posts, since Ambrice kept whichever ship she stayed on away from all dangers. If the Shields regretted missing major battles, they complained to Clemson, not to Queen Cressa. She saw only their attentive regard as they staked out her cabin, shadowed her movements, or supervised her interrogation of captives. Kinley often found excuses to linger, and occasionally Cressa invited her for a game of oblongs and squares. They drank wine and shared memories of Sina. Kinley even told Cressa about her relations with Sea Pearl's sailors. Apparently she'd found some solace with the young bosun's mate who had prodigious stamina in a hammock. During the third summer after she left Cascada, Cressa discovered that despite her efforts, she still couldn't protect her people. A tropical fever raged over Sea Pearl, striking down several sailors and three of the Queen's shield. For days they sweated and trembled while their friends bathed them and healers brewed fever-reducing draughts. Slowly, reluctantly, the illness ebbed, and the afflicted began to regain their strength. Then Kinley caught the same fever. Cressa took shifts at her side, wiping off the sweat and spooning in broth. Kinley appeared to have turned a corner, but that night the fever returned, hungry for prey. As dawn threatened, a knock made the Queen's cabin door vibrate. Arletty crossed to answer. From her bed, Cressa overheard Clemson's voice.
"Fetch her Majesty. Shield Kinley started seizing."
"I'm coming," she called out, pulling a skirt on over her night shift and following Clemson's slumped shadow. They'd brought Kinley out on deck to catch the slightest of breezes and laid her on a pallet on top of a closed hatch. Two of her fellows continually waved fans, trying to make the air around her cooling. A shaded lantern glowed dully, revealing that Kinley wore a stained undershift. Recently so stocky and strong, her body appeared shrunken and her skin loose. Her lips looked white with chapping, her short dark hair glistened, and her black eyes darted randomly above newly visible cheekbones. The people gathered round made space for the Queen. Cressa took Kinley's hand. It pulsed with the heat of her fever.
"She's just come out of a fever fit,"
explained the attending healer.
"She was thrashing about something terrible." "Kinley? Kinley, do you know me?"
Cressa spoke softly. The shield turned her head in her direction.
"I can't see you, but I know your voice, Queenie." "It's still dark, that's why you can't see." "I'm here with you," said Cressa.
"You won't leave me?"
"No. Lie back, I'm here."
Everyone waited silently. Cressa reached for a normal, reassuring tone of voice. "I'm here, Kinley. Feel my hand? This will pass like a bad nightmare. When you're better, we'll play oblongs and squares like we used to, and you'll beat me just as you used to."
"Drought damn these isles. They're fucking pirates. They're fucking fevers," Kinley muttered.
Cressa gathered her wits and reached for her talent.
"Kinley, I'm going to cool you down. Now imagine you float in a cold stream back at home. It's pure and clean, and it numbs your fingers and toes."
"Drought and fuck!"
Kinley interrupted, just before her body arched and shook like a loose-limbed doll.
"Make it stop!"
Cressa implored the healer. But all he could do was restrain her wild gyrations by pushing down on her shoulders. The fit continued for long minutes while Kinley's head snapped wildly on her neck. Then, just as abruptly as the seizure started, it abated and she collapsed back on the mattress. She'd bitten through her tongue. Blood rushed down her chin. The smell of urine rose from the palate.
"I'm here, Kinley," Cressa said loudly, stroking her face. "I'm here."
But Kinley lay unresponsive, occasionally twitching a limb or an eye. The healer swabbed at the blood. Shortly after daybreak, Kinley died. Clemson, Sergeant Dariush, and Cressa stood beside her while the sky brightened. The sailors quietly drifted back to their tasks, and the waves rolled ceaselessly. Cressa held her hand until it began to lose its abnormal heat. She had no words of comfort for Captain Clemson, and he had none for her. Finally, she wiped the tears from her cheeks and left the body to the sailors who would sew a shroud. The moons dragged on. The Allies killed more pirates, uncovered more collaborators, burned more ships, weathered storms and doldrums. They suspected that Pexlia had sent him reinforcements. Their provisioning funds grew lean, so Clemson took one of the Queen's necklaces to Pelagos to sell. Donna Simonetta, the salt trader, fumed when she heard the price.
"You got rooked, man. Islanders don't like to boast, but I can get you a much better deal."
So in the future, they put her in charge of such bargaining. The islands all came to look the same to Cressa, and she tired of the sea that had once offered such freedom from palace constraints. She missed her home, her palace, and especially her daughter. Time and again, Cressa woke up in the middle of the night, crying out for Cerulea. In those nighttime hours, she argued vehemently with Ambrice.
"You and Mikil have the naval strategy in hand. I would take a ship and sail to where I've hidden Cerulea. I must see her. It has been too long." My heart, 'tis too dangerous. One ship could be prey to weather or attack. I must see her.
I could sneak in at night. I could just check that she is well cared for. I must be sure she knows how we love her, how much we think of her, that we haven't forgotten her. Or I could fetch her away with me. She would be safe now with us on the command ship or with Magistrat Destra in Pelagos.
Cressa, you could not sail without a large escort. An escort that would divide our strength from this fight, and we need you here. The information you obtain saves lives. Besides, Cerulea is most secure if no one knows where she is. The minute she reappears, all of the might of the Oros and the Counselors would descend on her. The Green Isles harbour more spies than mosquitoes.
I want her near me. I crave her presence. Stop telling me what I cannot do. I am the Queen.
It is because you are the Queen that you must sacrifice your own desires to protect her. The throne is safer if you live separate. You know this. We've been over and over this.
Why do I have to choose between my daughter and my duty? I am not strong enough for this.
None of us can choose our time. The times choose us. You are strong enough. Look what you've endured. Only a little longer now, a few more seasons, a year at most.
Ambry stroked her hair.
Hush. Hush, now don't weep, or you'll break my heart.